We thank you for this day. Thank you so much for life and health. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to go to church. Thank you, Father, for those that are here. And Lord, I pray now that as we endeavor into your word, that you would clear our minds of all distractions, all worries and all cares. Help us, Lord, to be able to focus in these next few moments on the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that we'd all have ears to hear, hearts to receive what you have for us. And Lord, I pray, and if there's any decisions we need to make, that we'd make them today. If there's somebody among us that's lost, I pray that they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those of us that are saved, I pray you would speak to us, and Lord, any area of our life that's not what it needs to be, I pray you would help us to see that. God, give us the grace to change it. Lord, help me to say exactly what you want said, nothing more, nothing less. Please give me your liberty, the power, and the filling of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified in all things. It's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning I'm going to preach a message titled, A Straight Betwixt Two. A Straight Betwixt Two. And as you can see, I took the title for this message from verse number 23, where Paul said, For I am in a strait betwixt two. And I want to get started by saying a strait, as the word is used here and also in other places in the Bible, means a tight, narrow, confined space or place. That's what a strait is, as the word is used here and in other places. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, when talking about the way to destruction and the way to life, the Lord Jesus Christ says this. He says, Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. He says, Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But then in the very next verse, he says, Straight, same word, S-T-R-A-I-T, not the opposite of crooked, but straight as Paul uses it. He says, Straight is the gate, and listen now, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. You have a gate that is wide and a way that is broad that leads to destruction, but then you have a gate that is straight and a way that is narrow, just a narrow way that leads unto life. And of course, we know that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. No man comes unto the Father but by him. There's only one way to heaven, amen, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us at Calvary. So when Paul says he is in a strait betwixt two, what he's saying really is I'm in a tight spot. I'm in a place here that's narrow, that's confined, a place where there is very little wiggle room, as we like to say. Don't have a lot of space to move around here. And I want you to notice that he says he is in a strait betwixt two. Take a look there at verse 23 again. He says, For I am in a strait betwixt. The word betwixt means between. He says, I'm in a place here, spot here, between two. And then he tells us the two that he is between. On one side, Paul had depart. And then on the other side, he had abide. Depart on one side, abide on the other. He's in the middle, in that strait between those two. Notice he says in verse 23, For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But then he says in verse 24, Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So he's in a strait, a tight spot between two. On one side is depart. And when he says depart, obviously Paul is talking here about leaving this life. As a matter of fact, later on when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He uses the very same terminology there. And the word depart is a term that we commonly use when referring to us or somebody taking a trip or perhaps leaving a certain location and moving to another location. We talk about that time of departure. And what we're talking about is them leaving where they are and going somewhere else. And how many of you understand that's exactly what leaving this world is all about? It's a departure. It's us leaving where we are in this world and going to a place where we are not now. It's leaving this life, leaving this world and everything that has to do with this world and going somewhere else. That's what it's about. And that was what was on one side of Paul, to depart, to leave this life. But then on the other side was abide. You see that in verse 24. Depart on one side, abide on the other. Now, if depart has to do with leaving this life, what does abide have to do with? Depart means leaving, right? Abide means staying. So on one side he had depart, leave this life. On the other, he had abide, which means to stay in this life, to live on where he was at. That was the two he was between when he says, I am in a strait betwixt two. And if you look at verse number 22 again, you'll notice Paul admits that he didn't know which one to choose. He didn't know if he should choose depart or if he should choose abide. Verse 22, he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, which one I should choose, I wot not. The word wot means I know. I know not. What he's saying is I just don't know which one to choose. I don't know if I want to choose depart or if I want to choose abide. I don't know which one is what I need to do, what is best, what is perhaps God's will, you might say, for me to depart or to abide. I just don't know which one to choose. With that in mind, there's some things I want us to look at this morning from this passage here, which, by the way, is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I love all of the Word of God. Amen. I believe every word of it is inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant. But I must confess there are certain places, for whatever reason, that hold a very special place in my heart. And this is one of those places that's very near and dear to me. This is one of my favorite places in the Bible. And there's some things that I want us to notice this morning from this text. Number one, I want us to look at what I call Paul's declaration. Paul's declaration. And this is seen back up in verse number 22, the very first verse that we read. Take a look once again at verse 21 where Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's Paul's declaration. It's a statement he makes. To me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And whenever Paul says this, he's giving us his perspective. He's giving us his viewpoint on the two things that he was between. He's giving us his viewpoint on abide and depart. And I want you to look at what he says here in the verse. Verse 21, he says, for to me. You notice how he says that? It's kind of like we say those words when somebody asks our opinion or how we feel about something. We'll say, well, to me. And what we're doing is giving our perspective, the way we view something or what we believe about a particular thing or a particular situation. So when he says, for to me, Paul is saying, this is how I see these two things. This is my viewpoint on these things. And he starts out with life, which would match the abiding in the flesh, right? So Paul, first of all, is going to give you his viewpoint on life, abiding in the flesh, living down here. And this is what Paul says. He says, "For to me to live is Christ." But basically what Paul is saying is, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to know how I feel about it, what my perspective on life is, here it is. I believe that life is to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. That was his perspective on life as a saved man. All about Christ. Now, if you'd have run into Paul before he got saved, I'm sure he would have given you a little different perspective. Because before Paul got saved, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. In fact, before he got saved, Paul spent a good bit of time trying to get rid of anybody who did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what you find when you read through the book of Acts. You see that once he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and got converted, from that day forward, his entire life was devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From that day forward. Before it was, it after it was. That's part of becoming a new creature in Christ. Amen. There's a change that one experiences. There's something that happens in your life when the Lord comes inside. And Paul's whole outlook on life, his whole perspective about abiding in the flesh and living down here, changed once he got to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. From that point on, life was all about Jesus, according to Paul. Don't you think that's how it ought to be for every person that's saved? Every one of us that names the name of Christ, that says we have that relationship, that says we've trusted Him, that should be our perspective on life. We shouldn't view life as being all about us. We ought to view life as being all about Jesus Christ. That's who we ought to devote ourselves to as Christians. We ought to be committed to Him. Life for us should be about serving the Lord, about obeying the Lord, about loving the Lord, about doing the will of the Lord. Every day, our perspective on life is to be about Jesus Christ. It's just to be about Him. We're to see ourselves as His ambassadors, His representatives, and everything we do, we are to do for Him or as unto the Lord, as the Bible says. I think about Paul again. The Bible says, we've studied in Acts, that by his craft he was a tent maker. That was kind of his trade. That's what he did. You know what I believe about Paul? Just based on the things you read in his writings. And here's the thing, after Paul got saved, he obviously went around lots of places serving the Lord, but you know something he also continued to do as a saved man? He continued to make tents, right? We've read about that in Sunday school. But you know what I believe about Paul? I believe that after he got saved, even his mindset and attitude about making tents changed. I believe that. I believe after he got saved, it wasn't about making a tent to get some money so he could do something that he wanted to with his life. From that point on, after salvation, whenever he was sowing on that tent or doing whatever he had to do, he was doing that as unto the Lord. And that's the thing. You don't have to do something spiritual necessarily all the time to serve God. Whatever it is you do, if there's nothing wrong with it, do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it as unto the Lord to the very best of your ability. Whatever you do. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, "For to me to live is Christ." It's just making everything in your life, no matter what it is, whether it be, as I said, something spiritual or otherwise, just making everything in your life about Jesus Christ. Every step you take, every move you make, every decision you make, every direction you go, everything being about Christ. That was Paul's perspective on it. He asked Paul about it, and this is what he said. Well, to me, you don't know how I feel about it. I said, well, here it is. Life is Christ. Is that your perspective this morning? I tell you what I fear. I fear many of us saved folks are living for self. instead of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we got our moments, you know. We got certain areas of our life that we say we have given to the Lord. And that's good. Any area that you've given to the Lord, praise God for it. But I tell you, the goal is not to give just a few areas of your life to Him or to make certain things in your life about Him. The goal, according to Paul, the perspective, what we should shoot for is to get to the place where everything about our life has to do with Jesus Christ. That's the way we ought to live, day in and day out. So he gives us his perspective here on life in this declaration. But now let's look at the other. Remember, he's in a strait betwixt two. Depart and abide. Well, he's addressed the abide, the living part. He says, that's all about Jesus. That's all about Jesus to me. But then he goes on to say in verse 21, he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die. That's the departing, right? That's the other thing that he was between. To die. How about that? Y'all read that. What does he say? Is gain. Y'all see that? Y'all following along with me in the Bible this morning? To live is Christ and to die is gain. What a strange statement. To die is gain. Don't we most of the time view death, I mean, let's just be honest, most of the time we view death a little different than that, don't we? We see death as a loss. Talk about losing most of the time. When we speak of death many times, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, we tend to use more negative terminology than we do positive terminology. We just seem to focus on it as it's something negative as opposed to something that's positive. And listen to me very carefully. If you are lost or someone is lost and they die, then everything about death is negative. There's nothing positive anywhere in that. You can spin it around all you want to, but I'm telling you, if a person dies without Jesus Christ, there's nothing positive about that. And it cannot be said of that individual that death is gain. You don't gain anything if you die lost. Matter of fact, the Bible says you lose everything. Most especially, you lose your soul when you die. But here, listen to me, folks. Paul's not a lost man. When Paul says it, he's not a lost man. He's a saved man, and as a saved man, this is how he views life. Life, to me, as a saved person, is Christ. And how do I view death? To me, Paul says, death is gain. It's not loss for a child of God to die. We may use that terminology, but that's not how it is. When a saved person dies, it's not a demotion. Amen. It's a promotion. And that was Paul's perspective. He saw death differently. He's seeing death through the eyes of a child of God. Somebody that had a personal relationship with Christ and understood what happens to a person when they are saved and they leave this world. So he doesn't see death as a loss. He sees death as a gain. He doesn't say, man, if I die, I'm going to live. Man, he looks at death as, hey, I'm only going to be moving up when I die. It's a gain. I think that's how we should feel about ourselves. I believe that's how we should feel about others that are saved, that go to be with the Lord. Amen? We don't need to see it as a loss. We need to see it as a gain. And I understand that it's difficult. You know, it's hard when it's somebody you love. But, folks, we need to be sure we understand things from a biblical perspective. If you're here this morning and you're saved, number one, the time you have down here in this life ought to be about Christ. That's how you ought to view life, Christ. And number two, if you're saved, the way you ought to view death is gain, not loss. Now that brings me to a second thing that I want you to notice here. Not only Paul's declaration, but I want to talk to you for just a moment about Paul's desire. He had a declaration where he gives us his perspective on life and death. But then you see Paul's desire in verse 23. He's told us that he's in a strait betwixt two. He's got abiding on one side. He's got departing on the other. And He's given us his perspective on these things, but then Paul's just going to come out and tell you what his desire is, what he wanted to happen. Look at verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two. He says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul says, I'm in the middle here. I'm not sure which one is right for me at this point. But he says, if I could have it my way, this is what I desire. My desire. Now, folks, let's just be honest. What Paul desired is not what most of us desire, right? This thing about self-preservation, we're good at it. You know, we do everything we can to preserve our lives. And again, when we go to thinking about something happening and us dying, it's not like we're thinking, wow, this is what I've been waiting on. You understand? We do everything we can to put that off as long as we can. We don't want that to happen. But Paul was literally a man, as a saved person, who walked around each day with a desire to leave this life and go somewhere else. Now, why did Paul have that desire? Well, I believe he explains himself in verse 23. Why would, you know, nowadays if somebody came up to you or went and saw a psychiatrist and said, you know, I'm just ready for this life to be over. I'm ready to be gone. They'd write on their piece of paper, this person was crazy. I mean, I'm telling you, if Paul talked to a modern-day psychologist, they'd think he was off his rocker, okay? Lost his marbles, whatever. Cheese slid off the cracker, ever how you want to say it. They would think he was crazy. But Paul is looking at life and death through the eyes of a man who is saved, and he has an understanding of where he's going when he does depart from this life. And that's why Paul walked around each day with that desire in his heart. Paul was not afraid of death. Paul was not one who saw death in a negative way. It was something really that he longed for in his life, because he knew that for the child of God to die is gain. Why is death gain for a child of God? What does he say in verse 23? He says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, notice, and to be with Christ. Why did Paul want to leave this world behind? Why? Because he knew that when he drew his last breath down here on this earth, that he was leaving this world behind and everything associated with it, and he was going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do y'all understand that this morning? Y'all understand where you're going when you leave? Do you have that confidence in your heart this morning? Are you at peace knowing that when your time comes, whenever that is, that you're going to leave this world and you're not just going to go out to a hole in the ground? You're not going to depart and just go out into a cemetery somewhere and be in a casket and have them shovel dirt over you. Man, when you die, when you draw your last breath, you're moving on up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul understood that. Do you understand that this morning? Now look at this. He says in verse 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. You know what he wanted more than anything? It wasn't that he just wanted to get out of the world. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, I just want to get out of this world. He's saying, I want to be with Jesus. Where he is, it's where I want to be. It's what Paul is saying. You know why I think, and I'm just telling you straight, why I think so many of us want to hang on to life so dearly? While we scratch and claw and rush to the doctor every time some little something happens and try to make sure we don't die. You know why? It's because, I'm just telling you, it's because we're more in love with this junk down here and all that goes on and all that's associated with this life than we are the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, if you really love someone, especially if they are the love of your life, they mean more to you than anybody else in the world, what do you desire? You desire to be with them, don't you? That's what you want more than anything. You want to be with that person that is the love of your life, the one that loves you so much. And really, and I'm thinking back now, some of you folks in here that are married, try if you can to think back whenever you met your spouse and you fell in love. Well, wasn't that amazing? What a wonderful time in your life. Y'all following what I'm saying? Do you remember how you just that old ooey-gooey inside? And let's be honest now, wherever they were, that's where you wanted to be, right? I'm going to tell y'all something that's going to surprise you. There was a time in my life when I quit deer hunting. There was a time when I didn't hardly ever go deer hunting, hardly ever went fishing, any of that. You know what happened? I'm telling you, I met someone that meant more to me than deer hunting and fishing. And where she was is where I wanted to be. I'm telling you honest to God truth. And most of you understand what I'm talking about. Maybe things have changed as the years have gone by. I don't know. But you know how it was. When you really love someone, I'm talking about when you fall head over heels in love with them, you want to spend time with them, don't you? You want to be where they are. That's what Paul's talking about. He's not just a man who's frustrated with life and just saying, hey, I'm ready to give it up and go out there and get in a hole in the ground. Paul is thinking ahead. He knows what's in the future. Paul loved the Lord Jesus Christ more than anybody, more than anything. How do you know? Well, he just told you in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. He's in love with the Lord. And when he says, my desire is to depart, the reason he wanted to depart is because he wanted to be with Jesus Christ more than he wanted to be in this world down here. Folks, I believe that's how you and I ought to be. We ought to love him so much that we long for the day, when we get to be in his presence. Let's look at this right here now, verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Look at it. Which is far better. Isn't that wonderful? Which is far better. He didn't even say which is better. It is better to be with Jesus Christ than to be down here. But that ain't what he said. He said it's far better. Now you get to thinking about it. I realize life is difficult. We have ups and downs, trials, tribulations. We got all kind of stuff we go through. But at the same time, we enjoy a lot of blessings in this life, don't we? Life is not all bad. Now, there is a lot of bad things that we have to go through, a lot of hardship, a lot of things that we have to face. Life has adequately been described as a veil of tears. We shed a lot of tears in this life. But, folks, I stand before you this morning as a man who is also enjoying a lot of good times in life. Everything I face is not bad. I have a lot of blessings. I'm very thankful to God for a lot of the things that I enjoy. But here's the truth. Here's reality. You take the very best that this world has to offer, and you bring it all together, and you put it into something, and you shake it up and combine it, and you get the greatest, the best that this world has to offer. And being with Jesus Christ is far better than all of that put together. I'm trying to get your mind focused on reality this morning. I want you to understand where you're headed when you leave this world. Death's not lost to a child of God, it's gain. We're going to a place that's far better. Every single person who was saved that has died and gone on, do you realize, as good as we got it this morning, that where they are, they're far better off than we are? We don't need to feel sorry for them. They're in a heap sight better shape than we are this morning, because right now they are in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That was Paul's desire. Now I'm going to give you one more thing and I'll be finished. Paul's declaration, Paul's desire, And then we have what I call Paul's decision or Paul's determination, either one, Philippians chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. He's talking about these two things that he was in a strait between. And he gave you his perspective, and then he told you his desire. He said, of the two, if I had it my way, I'd just go on and be with Jesus. That's my desire. That's what I long for. That's what I want. But then he says in verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He's writing to the saints at Philippi. He says, look, this is what I want. I want to just go be with Jesus. But what I understand is that me staying here, continuing to live in this life, is more needful for you. Let me ask you this. Who would it help if Paul went to be with Jesus? It would help Paul, right? He would be the beneficiary of all those wonderful things there in heaven if he left and went on to be with Jesus Christ. But what he's saying is, I understand me staying down here is what you folks really need. It's more needful for me to be here so I can help the saints than it is for me to get what I want and go on and be with Jesus Christ. Once again, you see that Paul was a person who was selfless, not selfish. And he was willing to put aside his desires, if possible, so that he could be a blessing to somebody else. And of course, he wanted to be a blessing to somebody else because he realized that was part of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't want to be a blessing so that he could attract attention to himself. He just said to live as Christ, and part of our life being about Christ is us allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to use us to be a help to somebody else. And Paul says, I understand that's what's more needful here. Look at what he says in verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you. Paul was confident that at least for the time, the Lord was going to keep him here. That he wasn't going to allow him to go on and be with him. He was going to keep him down here. Why? That I shall abide and continue with you all, look at it, for your furtherance. He said, you know, this is what I want, but this is what I know is most needful, and this is what the Lord's going to do. He's going to leave me down here so I can help you be further along in your relationship with the Lord. Folks, I think we need to readjust our way of thinking, don't you? Change our perspective on life. Change our perspective on death. See, death is gain. It's going home to be with the Lord Jesus, which is far better. But understanding that while we're down here, life is about Him. It's about living for Christ. And part of us living for Christ is making ourselves available to Christ to be used to help other people get further along in their relationship with Christ. How many people have you helped along the way? How many lives are you investing in right now? Who is closer to the Lord today because of you and what you have been used to do in their life? That's part of living for Christ, is allowing God. Can you think this morning, is God using you to further somebody else? Is there somebody you're discipling? Is there somebody that you're lending a helping hand to that's getting closer to the Lord, that's growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are you just kind of living for yourself, just doing your own thing without much regard at all for anybody else? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth. And Lord, we thank you for our future as saved people. Lord, thank you that one day we're going to be with you and be with you forever. But Lord, until that day comes, as long as we abide in the flesh, I pray you would help us to live for you with all of our heart. Help us to make ourselves available so you can use us to be a blessing to others. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.